Good morning, and welcome to PHPPB Weekly. This is episode number 123. I'm your co-host, David Lewis, live from Washington State.
And I'm Chips Knightley.
Who is that?
Douglas Bell, coming from Washington, D.C. No, but still, my brain is Chip Knightley.
I have no idea who Chip Knightley is.
Me neither, but whatever. It'll take you a while to figure that one out.
All right, so both coming from Washington, although in different parts of the country.
Absolutely, different time zones. It's afternoon for me, so don't just go say good morning wherever you want.
Hey, I'm good morning. You're good afternoon.
And somewhere it's Guten Tag.
Yes, indeed.
I've always wondered what that means.
Yeah. PHPPB Weekly is the live tech podcast about the PHPPB bulletin board software.
As opposed to the dead tech podcast. PHPPB Bulletin Board Software, which does exist.
To join us live every Saturday morning at what time, Douglas?
1 p.m. Eastern in the morning.
I like that. 10 a.m. Pacific and UTC 18? 17?
17 is the moment.
17, yes.
Until daylight savings time ends.
Yes, you can join us live by going to phpbweekly.net/live and join us on the live chat room there, where we broadcast every week from Ustream now, which is fantastic.
Mm-hmm. When it works, which most of the time it does.
Yes, it does, but sometimes it can seem to load a little slow for the host anyway. That's me.
Yeah. Before we get started, I do have to make a little confession, because apparently, from what David told me, Eric Fierro on the chat room said, how can they do another episode when they haven't released the last one yet? If you were around last week, you may have heard, I don't have a computer at the moment. I'm now going on 18 days without having a computer to use, which really stinks. I've been using it, replacing it somewhat with an iPod Touch for the last 2 weeks, which is why I'm on the call right now, which is also why David has been taking charge of the show recently. And so it's very difficult to get an episode edited. I happen to be at university, which does have a library and has a media center, which does have a couple of Macs, one of which has GarageBand on it for me to be able to do editing. But it's very difficult for me to be able to get there and have enough time to get it all done in one single sitting. So, within their hours, because normally it's just editing the show is like a couple of parts. I don't usually do it all at once.
So why did you lose all your work when you were editing it?
Because it was too. At the moment, it was too big for me to save on my flash drive.
Well, how big's your flash drive?
Well, it's currently holding a bunch of other files, so I have about 900 megabytes free.
900 meg free? That should be plenty.
To fit in 972 megabytes.
Oh.
In order to do the editing, David, I have to uncompress the files quite a bit.
Right, but yeah, I wouldn't figure that it would use a whole gig or close to it.
It does. I usually, and in fact, once I get through the GarageBand part, it would take close to 2 gigs.
Wow!
And since I did get a start the other night, but they had to. All of the libraries open 24 hours. The media center where the Mac computers are is only available till like 11:30 p.m. I ran out into that time, and it was too big. I couldn't save. I didn't have enough room to save my work, and they had to turn the computer off. So yeah. I'm going to try to get there this afternoon, now that I finally have an opportunity, so you can probably expect episode 122, last week's episode, out later today, and I'm going to try for this episode to be out on Wednesday, September 30th, is the goal, so there's a little bit of space in between. So, large apologies for the delay. I've been tweeting on our Twitter, PHPPB Weekly Twitter, for the last few days, saying when it would come out, and I kept on having to delay it, and it stinks. For those of you that remember, back when we had Laurel Van Foss on, I mentioned that I had one a computer, a Linux computer from OSCON. That went on eBay on Wednesday. And so I don't, and there will be probably a link coming in the show. Actually, crap. I can't do that because the show will be released Wednesday. there's a link somewhere on my Twitter, it's one of my recent tweets. But if you're interested, that goes to help me get a new computer. it ends Wednesday, so.
That's good.
Please bid and help me save myself and get the show back going again, because I'll have the stuff to do it. And it can save Dave from having to impersonate me to get the Ustream going, so.
Well, in the chat room, of course, right now, I'm actually logged in as myself. I'm just listed as a moderator instead of a host, which is fine. As long as I can turn on the links, then I don't need to be anything more than a moderator.
Except you are broadcasting this as me, so.
Everybody was saying that we were a little bit quiet, so I actually turned you up a little bit.
There you go. So, but anyway, so sorry about this, but we're going to make it work. If anyone is in the market for a Pogo Linux Intel workstation with a Core i7-920 quad-core 2.66 gigahertz processor, 1 terabyte hard drive, and 6 gigabytes of RAM, bid.
Sneaky Simeon, who's actually Techie Michael, he said, "You know, Douglas, you can get a Windows laptop for far cheaper than a Mac laptop." Yes, that's kind of funny, actually, because Douglas has a free computer, which he just listed the specs of. It's a fantastic running computer, very high powered, and yeah, uses Linux. It's not Windows, but. It's just not the same. I mean, I've used Linux before, but it's just not the same as the Mac. I don't know. It's I know Techie's kind of a new guy to the Mac. He has probably both. But yeah,
sure.
I don't know.
For audio, I think I gotta have the Mac. I mean,
yeah.
I've been having to use Windows computers in the library for the past few weeks to get work done, which has been interesting. But luckily, I can figure out how to use Microsoft Word and Firefox all right.
Yeah,
as for the Linux computer, David, I don't have it. That is actually at my house back in San Francisco.
Yes, yeah, it is. But the point being is that you do in fact have a large, fast computer that you got free because of the conference.
4,000 miles away from here, David.
Yes, it's 1,000 miles away, but
I don't have it. I want it. I don't have it. I'm not even staying here.
Yeah, I would still sell it and get the Mac myself. I also do audio editing and video editing now. I do a lot of video editing, and you can't do that on the PCs, and at least
as
not
well.
So well. Not so, I mean, they will do it, but just.
Hey, I'm going to try to do some video editing too soon. I'm trying to get a tech show going on our campus TV station. That's going to be exciting. I hope that will work. If it comes together, it looks like we'll likely start it sometime in October, and that will be right after PHP Weekly ends. So I have to run over there and get started. I don't know. So
we
Saturday becomes audio video day.
So we have some news coming from PHP Week.
Yeah, that's right. This isn't Air My Personal Grievances Weekly.
Yes. Although these announcements came before this podcast was done, this is
Yay.
Good. Usually they post them right after same day, so this is new. There are two big.
I've always complained about how they do it right after the show. I actually usually like it better, particularly for the larger announcements, because it gives it time for to digest the show, and then I can figure out how to, have a lot of fun with it on the following show.
As promised, the PHBBB 3.0.6 release candidate 2. Was released
yesterday,
and of course, as everybody knows, they had the RC1. This is RC2, and to be expected with a change this big. Most of the changes between RC1 and RC2 are, little bug fixes from regressions. Regressions are basically where they committed to fix a bug, and it probably broke something else. That sort of regression, or that it didn't complete, that the fix worked partially or didn't completely work or whatever it is.
I'm surprised that they kept on releasing, announcing release candidates publicly on the announcements forum, but they're really treating this as though it was a next major release, even though it's just really a point release.
Yeah, what's nice about this RC release stages is that it does get them to release to a broad audience before they actually release it to the entire public. So, it has a warning at the top. This release candidate is only meant for people who want to participate in the QA. That's
Quack and assassinate.
process. If you are interested, please subscribe. Please subscribe to the QA mailing list to be notified about additional release candidates, although they're still posting them here. So what's nice about being on the QA team, if you're a techie and you like to follow the development of PHPB closely, then you can subscribe to the QA mailing list and test these releases. They have a section on the PHPB bugs, the bug tracker that's for QA. Everybody actually can go into the bug tracker and verify a fix. So if you've previously gone and reported a bug to PHPBB, you've downloaded 3.0.6 RC2, installed it, and go verify that that bug is actually fixed, you can navigate to the bug and click, I verify that this has been fixed. And everybody can do that now. As long as you're registered on phpbb.com, I believe, you can verify that a bug has been fixed, that's great. And what it will do, it will actually count the number of verifications for each bug. And in our little QA page on the bug tracker, it will show how many times it's been verified, and they will turn green when it's been verified 5 times.
But then it's going to show that it's definitely replicable.
Yeah. So that, it's basically showing, hey, this has, in fact, been fixed. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if everybody has access to that page. I will go ahead and post the link because it will help those who do want to help verify bug fixes. They can go in and they can see the bugs that have not yet been verified, and they can help verify those bugs. So that link is, to get to the chat room, out which page it's on. There we go. Now, I don't know if everybody can access that, but if you're on the QA team, you definitely can.
Yeah. Now, for RC2, aside from a bunch of bug fixes, it was worth noting that they did a lot of testing with the automatic updater, which I think we talked a little bit about this last week, but they said they tested it with some very heavily modified boards, and they did increase its failure rate. I was looking at this as it was going through the Subversion check-in. Essentially, they've gone through a number of places where mods commonly make changes to the core code and have now made changes to the update to become at least familiar with those particular places, and it can now work around that a bit to really help decrease the number of case conflicts arise.
I saw that Acidburn worked extensively on the updater to try and make it work more efficiently, work faster, and be really aggressive with the merges, and it really overall made it work much better. So I think people will really like that in it. And what he did was he had people submit their changed files. Or their, basically the 3.0.5 or whatever it was, so that he could run the change file packages and see how it worked on different installations on heavily modded boards, for example, and then he could modify it and make sure that it really worked to its highest potential. Of course, there's always room for update, but he spent a lot of time. I mean, a lot of time. I assume over 30 hours by now. Mm. On just the update package alone, between I think RC1 and RC2, so we're really getting it up to speed. Now there is one other note on the RC or actually the 3.0.6 release. Some people replace their includes functions_messenger.php file from their 3.0.5 installation with the version from 3.0.4 due to a bug that was causing email issues.
Mm.
If you update to RC2, please re-upload a 3.0.5 functions messenger file and any other file you replaced with previous versions. If you do not use PHPBB 3.0.5 files, all modifications will be identified as non-PHPBB modification and merged during the automatic update. This will result in wrong updates, where to-be updated parts for 3.0.6 will not be included, and you will not benefit from the bug fixes, or even, and you may notice, grave errors. So it's important that if you did fix those kind of issues by replacing it with a file from 3.0.4, that you need to put it back to 3.0.5 before updating to 3.0.6, because otherwise it will merge them and you will come up with some pretty odd results or some pretty big errors. So that, or you'd simply replace that file with 3.0.6 and, you know, the actual file from 3.0.6. That's another way to do it, but so that's important.
Yeah. You know what I'm most looking forward to for 3.0.6?
What's that?
We've been waiting for this for so long and talking about it for the last 3.5 months. What I really can't wait to see is the name they give to the release. They always give great names to their PHPBB releases, and I cannot wait to see what they come up with for 3.0.6.
Something furry?
since they did not decide to up the build version number, I'm presuming it's not getting a different code name. It's still Olympus, so it's got to be a different name. Some kind of furry. I'd love to know what it is. Because I always find that my favorite ones are always when they have to come out with releases that have to apologize to the support team. that always gives me a crack.
There's another note here for language pack and style authors. That's important. PHPBB already gave out instructions to language pack authors to let them update their language packs in a timely manner. The changes provided within the code changes packages, if you see the download section on phpbb.com, or actually on the announcement is where you want to look at that. Style authors should also download the code changes package and adjust their styles accordingly, and post within the styles forum if you have any questions or encounter any problems, because there are a lot, and I mean a lot, of both language and style changes between 3.0.5 and 3.0.6. So if you are a style author, it's really important that you need to go update your style to support 3.0.6, especially with some of the new features in there, including the RSS atom feeds and the quick reply. Yep. Which, you know, obviously with the templates, with the styles, you can pretty much give your own implementation of the quick reply.
Yeah.
You don't have to, you know, I know that ProSilver did it a certain way, but you don't have to do it exactly that way. It's kind of interesting, actually, like we talked about last week, there's a lot of people who aren't completely pleased with the implementation that they used for ProSilver. But I had to remind people that, hey, you know, it is bare bones. That was what it was designed to be, bare bones. So, you know, take that into consideration and design
your own. That's a mod for if you want it more than that.
Yeah, or, you know, obviously if you're a style author, you can also make it however that you want to make it, or your users.
Mm-hmm.
And on another note, actually, let me not go into that right now. But so that's that announcement. Do you want to talk about the Mod X release that was released
today?
The
Toasted Motherboard 1.2.3 version of Mod X that came out this morning. I've mentioned it to David before the show. I love how they released Mod X 1.2.3 the same day that we recorded PHP Weekly number 1, 2, 3. Just too convenient. Too many, apparently this came out, you know, last week we talked about, just apparently before the show, Igor posted info on the blog about less significant modification team changes in regards to the the development changes that were announced earlier this summer. And as part of it, there is now a new version of Mod X, which has a couple of changes. Most notably, it now allows version numbers that were previously considered to be development style version numbers, but now with the new versioning change for PHBBB, it doesn't matter anymore whether the middle number is even or odd. And there's a couple of other changes, and it's backwards compatible. So, and I mean, I'm sure David can go a little bit more, point out some of the other interesting changes.
Yeah, the full change log is stated. You know, they removed depreciated DBMS, that's database types, from the SQL tag.
And is that because at this point it doesn't matter anymore, so long as you're using code that is just standard with the typical PHPBB DBMS?
Depreciated.
Deprecated.
You see, I don't really know, actually. They said depreciated, and I assume that means that obviously the different DBMS types are still supported. I don't know what they refer to as depreciated. What was the difference between 3.0.0 and 3.0.6? I think it was a few versions.
Before, David, when they first came out with Mod X, I was around at this time, it was such that if you had like different SQL queries that were optimized for one sort of SQL structure or another, like you could specify like one of DBMS equals MySQL, MySQL, or one for SQLite, or one for Firebird, for example. And so you could use that to include multiple bits of multiple queries optimized for whatever it was doing, and Mod would automatically be able to figure out what database the Mod installer was on, and therefore would choose the right one.
Mm-hmm.
My presumption, however, is that since PHPBB itself uses one standard set of SQL queries just within its own code, and the DBMS or database, the DBAL, that's it, the DBAL is able to, optimize it for whatever it's doing itself. It would seem to me like perhaps that's why this is now deprecated, because you should be able to just use one style of SQL query, which will then be able to be interpreted by PHPBB for whatever you're using.
Yeah, that's obviously the desired reaction, but it's in fact not done that way. Unless AutoMod does that. I don't know if it does. I don't think it does. But I think, and I don't know for sure, but that SQL tag should still be able to support the multiple DBMS types supported in 3.0.6.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know what the depreciated ones are. I don't know what that means. Was it for PHPBB2? Got me. I have no clue. I have to get somebody who does know to respond.
I mean, it is worth noting that for most of the different types of databases, for things that a mod installer would be doing, like inserting and updating, the syntax is not very different. If I recall correctly, the area where syntax changes abound is sort of in like the select query, if I recall correctly. And things like that, and again, all the things that you will see a mod doing will be either create table, alter table, insert, or update, or maybe delete, but not very commonly.
Damien just poked me on Skype and said that it's Firebird 2.0 that is no longer supported.
But in 3.0.6.
Well, in the new Mod X.
Yeah, that would work too, because 3.0.6 is going up to 2.1. But, well, Firebird is going up to 2.1.
Right, but it doesn't make sense why they would have removed that, because it shouldn't have specified version in the Mod X file. So I don't know if that is really the case or not, but...
Hey, Damien, go poke Igor.
Yeah. Okay, and of course, it will now allow version numbers like 1.3.3, and everything except 0.x is accepted. Now, I assume that 0.x is still going to be considered like a development version, so if you release it like a betamon.
The way the XSL works is that before it would use the version number to figure out if it was a development version, and if it was a development version, it would put up a warning. So if you try to open that mod, either normally in the XSL or installing with AutoMod, it will warn you, hey, this is a development version.
Right,
And
exactly.
originally it did that whenever you had a 0 point something, or if the middle number was an odd number, because under the old former Linux versioning scheme, those were the ways to tell if it was a development version or stable. Now it's only going to be considered development if it's 0.x. Now, that doesn't mean that mod authors will necessarily say that it's going to be, mean that it has to be 0.x, and if it's not, it's going to be stable, because they could be like 3.0.6 RC2 is technically not a stable release. It may work very well, maybe just not ready for release, but there could be no, it is not stable until it goes final. So it's still going to be up to, you can't. And that's why, kind of why I was a little surprised to see that they would include a message like this, because there's you really have to be smart enough as a mod installer to recognize, hey, something's in development, and mods will probably take it themselves to let you know, hey, this is in development. Because if they don't, they're going to get a lot of support requests that they don't want to deal with.
Yeah,
So
it's.
don't rely on that too much.
I'm actually getting. I'm breaking up with you quite a bit. Or you're breaking up, I should say.
Maybe it's gonna keep knocking over my microphone.
I'm hearing digitized digital banter.
Oh well.
Yeah.
Is it better now?
Not really, no.
That stinks.
You'll get better here in a second.
Keep talking.
Or actually, you. No, I don't know if. Yeah, I'm getting like 49% packet loss from you. Interesting.
Because the school's Wi-Fi is very, it goes in and out, and sometimes it goes from being very, very fast to being rather slow, and I really don't understand the internet at this school.
Well, hopefully it'll speed up here in a minute.
And it works, it always seems to work better on my computer. It really ducks in and out, and I can't, that's why when I was on my computer, I used Ethernet cable for doing this, and obviously I have to rely on Wi-Fi on here, so.
Yeah, everybody in the chat room is predicting that we're going to lose you any second.
My cell phone is defending me. Okay.
Or if you do drop out, just disconnect you and we'll reconnect you, and hopefully that will solve it too. So,
Call my cell phone at that point.
do you want me to call your cell phone now?
No, if I drop it.
Oh, okay. Well, you'll have to Skype it to me then. Okay, so the ModX 1.2.3 is called the Toasted Motherboard release.
Sounds delicious.
Yes, it does. Yeah, of
Consider I
course
was
it.
considering motherboards on the eBay listing.
If you read the announcement, I don't want to go into too much detail. I'll just point out a couple of the important things. They added a real name tag for links. Then, of course, changed some styles, attributes, and stuff, and made sure that the XSL would properly support the things that it should properly support. Renamed a tag from give-authors to give-author, and added attribute phbb com equals no to the username tag for mod developers that are not registered on phbb.com, and that tag actually defaults to yes. I bet a lot of people probably didn't know that that one actually existed. Added a replace template to replace space and the pound sign with their encoded characters, URI encoded characters, and DBMS drop-down bug fixed. So those are the short breakdown of the bugs fixed in ModX 1.2.3 Toasted Motherboard.
Now, here's the thing I wonder about, and I guess I've always kind of wondered this, because a lot of these changes here are very specific to certain tags and sort of, and it was interesting when ModX was originally came out, the early documentation, which was put together by Smithy DLL, David Smith, was actually documented as such as if ModX was sort of a platform, as not necessarily tied to PHPBB. Now, that's changed a little bit. But it's interesting because a lot of these things, at least like you say, that the give author and the PHPBB com tag, I don't think a lot of people are really going to care about that, because unless, and I guess I point out that it seems to me like at this point, if you're writing ModX Are there any really good tools out yet? I know that there's some of the problem, but are really any good tools out yet that can really use like a graphical interface to spit out MODX, or is it still such that really, if you want to do it right, you have to do it by hand?
You know, the Star Trek Guide mod database does spew out a good MODX. It's, although honestly, just a little bit outdated now that there's a new release. But it does work for most basic stuff, and we are working on a more sophisticated one, but real life calls a lot, so it's kind of hard to stay with that. But we have a much more sophisticated, advanced version actually in the works.
When MODX first came out in 2006, and I was still modding on myself, I tried a couple of the OMNET tools, like the text template to MODX generator. In fact, that was kind of how most people who didn't want to deal with XML did MODX then. They wrote it up as a text template and converted it. I didn't really like that because I was very picky and so I would always, not only would I write MODX files by hand, I would actually install them by hand because I had a hard time using the XSL.
Yeah, and the thing about XML is it's a machine-generated and readable language, so really people should not have to read that code or write that code. They should, mm-hmm. Always be able to generate it and automatically read it. And that's sort of the one problem with the way it is right now, and the fact that we don't actually have any good generators for it. Syntax here says I write my own. It's not that hard. Well, yeah, it's not really that hard, but everybody doesn't want to write their own. They just want a tool on PHPView.com or a site like Star Trek Guide where they can just go to and generate the MODX. That's what we need to get, and it's what we're actually aiming for, but we're not quite there yet, and it's kind of frustrating.
That's really why a tool like AutoMod is so necessary now, since PHPV3 has to have mods using MODX. You got to have something to make it easy, because I mean the SSL is at least a good step, but it's still not as flexible as the text template file was. Just the way I was able to do whatever I needed to with the text files, it was very flexible.
A lot of people who use the text files really liked the text files for that reason. Obviously, the problem that you have with the text files is a huge margin of error, because it relies on you being able to type it correctly. And if you make a mistake, then it can mess up any system that's designed to automatically read it. Whereas AutoMod reading XML, there's a lower percentage chance of error, and it's going to be much more efficient, much faster. You know, there's a lot of pros to using XML as opposed to the text template, and that's why it's done.
And this was a debate that took place then, that MODX is designed for automatic installation. Text template is designed for people to be able to do it manually. So, and therefore, it's hard, if you're trying to mix them up, it's very hard for developers to be able to do text template manually. It's relatively hard for users who install things manually to use MODX. Mm-hmm. And that is less of an issue now that we have AutoMod out. It's not final yet, I don't believe, but at least it's there. And it can, install MODX files. So that's helped quite a lot, right, from when you had to use MODX by hand, which is, the XSL has gotten better since the early days, but it's still not as flexible as doing it by hand.
That's true, but AutoMod is an RC2, Release Candidate 2 release currently. It's obviously the first one supported, so they consider it to be stable anyway. And so it does work really well. I mean, if you haven't had a chance to try it, and I'm talking to everybody else out there, do give it a shot, because it does make
like
MODX
mod. It was in perpetual beta. It was stable enough. That's what the mod team used to validate it.
Another issue that people had was the fact of, actually running like database queries and, having people go through the administration control panel to add a module or add a new permission or add, doing all that kind of stuff. And that's why UMIL was built, so that you don't have to put all that stuff in Mod X, where Mod X, the only thing that it contains now is file edits. And those are significantly easier, and those are easier to do by hand, those are easier to process for AutoMod. And then if you have UMIL run all your database installation stuff, then you are doing great. And the nice thing about UMIL is that it's not XML, it's PHP. And so you design the installer how you want it to install, and it's very easy to use, and it's very efficient. I love using it. I use it for everything that I'm doing now, even for my own software that I've created to work off the PHP3 framework. I still install that using UMIL and keep track of all changes and revision changes using UMIL, so that when they go, that they can just update it or roll back to a previous revision or whatever it might be. They can do that all using UMIL. So that's what I love about it. That's why I use it for all the projects that I'm building right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one point I know. How's that stable?
Yes, that UMIL is definitely stable, and it actually works really well. I actually use the
Was your pet project for a while until you had to step down from the team.
well, it was a project that I basically designed, as far as deciding what it did, but X-Reaction actually did most of the coding for it and stuff. So, but yeah, it's certainly that one and Titania were the two projects that I was in charge of, and. Or basically,
Titania, what's that?
Titania, that's the customization database that's still in progress.
Are we supposed to know about that?
Yeah. I remember I talked about it at London Vision. You don't remember
No, I
that?
don't remember.
Actually, I've explained it to you several times. That's what's really funny.
Sure, them in the chat room is slapping me right now, and I can't see him doing it.
Someone in the what chat room?
Maybe they must be slapping right now or something.
Yeah.
Well, Mod X 1.2.3, backwards compatible. So since Mod X really is a spec, I guess it simply means it's not, it's just for mod authors to say, hey, update your XSL, and I guess they're and I guess yeah, change the link to the XML and S, the XML namespace, to change the version number, and that's about it.
Hey, I just got poked on the chat room from Ustream. Tumba, who's on the mod team, created a Mod X creator. He calls it the Petra Power Mod X install file creator.
The what?
The Petra Power, or the PP Mod X.
Petra.
Petra
Petra pa How do you
Power,
spell
yeah.
that?
PEETRA. Petra Power. Mod X install file
Sorry, I
creator.
got it. The way you paused was like that. You gave me a very bad visual.
This creator uses JavaScript to create a Mod X, and you can try it out at modx.scriptr.se. That's SKRIPTER.SE. So modx.scriptr.se, and that will create a Mod X file. It's not the prettiest looking interface, but if it works, who
There you
cares?
go. Well, I suppose we can get to Mod Studio, since that's kind of
This
long since gone.
is one of those tools that you can tell was created by a coder. The one thing about coders that you immediately identify is the fact that they can't style
Yeah.
anything. And that's the way it looks. But you know what? It doesn't
Supposed
matter.
to be outsourced somewhere.
Yeah, because it's a lot prettier than working with the code itself. So you can't really complain too much. But
Oh,
it there's really nice instructions on it. Yeah, like Damien said, it may be ugly, but it works. That's certainly true. And
David, this afternoon when I go to edit the show, I'm probably going to submit my first bug report to phpbb.com in a long time. Because the past week and 2 weeks, I've gotten to use a feature of PHPBB3 that very few people have to use, and I bet a lot of people don't even know about. You know that PHPBB3 adds the ability to load a print view for topics, right?
you're correct, yes.
Yeah, it's hard to see because on ProSilver, you got to see a little print icon. It's easy to miss. Since I can't actually, do anything during the show, or see anything outside of Skype, the last 2 weeks, I've kind of had to print out posts in order or that we were going to talk about so I could have them handy. And that brings me to a little bug. Using Firefox, when you go to the print, it looks correct within the page, but when you go to print it, it actually, Firefox separates each post onto a separate page.
Oh no.
And if the post goes longer than the length of one page, it cuts it off.
So it basically does one post per page, and if it's like, well, one post is longer than one page, too bad.
So like if it's like for the 3.0.6 release candidate 2, I mean, I used the print preview, so I didn't waste paper. The release candidate 2 topic, the first page gives me the header with the link to the topic, and then it just that's the end of that page. So it only uses like a little bit of the page. The actual first post from Mike starts on the second page. And then when you go see this language pack style section, it cuts off in the middle of the first line of the tarball link from the package. There, it cuts off. Doesn't even let the text finish, and then that's it. And then page 3 is the last little bit of copyright information, etc. It's weird because when you actually look at the page in Firefox, it looks correct. It just does that when it tries to actually print. So I only tried that in Firefox on Windows. I haven't tried that anywhere else yet. But that's probably a bit of a noteworthy bug that probably not a lot of people know about because I don't think many people actually print posts. It's a good feature to have. I don't think a lot of people do it. So I will file that report.
There you go. And that's what people should do. Notice a bug like that, go to phpbooper.com, file a bug report for it so that it can be fixed. And the
I thought it was
PHP
a freak thing, because that happened to me last week. I thought this was a one-time freak occurrence, but I'm getting the same thing here today. So
the PHPB
because
team
last week again, sorry. Keeping me off, but last week when I tried to copy that huge list of changes made in RC1, I actually had to copy that into a Word document because it was like 3 pages, 4 pages,
Right.
actually 6 pages.
So the PHPB development team is very good at fixing bugs, but it's impossible for them to fix bugs if they never see them. So if you see a bug,
What? They don't have a psychic on the team?
no.
What kind of development team do we have? They don't have a psychic there. What's the point of that?
I'm not going to go into that.
Don't know how to do that.
I need to slap the styles team to start releasing more styles.
There you go.
I like
They can
it.
tell us what they're going to do with the new development changes.
On the entire front page of the styles releases, there is very, very few of those topics actually started in 2009. I see one in May, one in January, one in, and no, two in July. Okay, and that's the entire first page.
So there's a
The
bunch of oldies but goodies on there.
yeah, and several of those are like ranks and smileys that were released this year. It's like, okay,
I've
how about a
often pondered
style?
if ranks are a smiley for a style of the week, but
Yeah,
never
I should
try.
start doing the that what's it called? That Andy. Oh gosh, what's his name? Andy, oh, that they created the Rock Bridge. Andy Miller, and he has a template engine. It's or and not a template. He actually has a template site that works with Joomla, and you can also buy the templates for PHP 3. Downside, obviously they're not free, but they are very well coded, and you can believe that they are different than anything ProSilver or SubSilver 2. So, which is kind of nice if you want something unique. You can definitely go there and take a look at what they have. They have a lot of different options to choose from. So, I can't remember the site offhand. I actually go to Starchy Guide because we're actually running their ads on our site. That should help. But anyway, it's kind of hard to pick a style of the week when everything, when there's nothing new, for one.
But you're trying.
And
don't
everything.
I do that case, David? You do just go do what I did during a time when there was no styles database available. Go on the other side, PHP BB Hacks, PHP BB Thrice, styles.com. Those are pretty well up to date.
Yeah. Boy, that looks very vBulletin-ish. There's just a style in the styles database that looks very like a vBulletin board.
Well, you do have a mod of the week, though, don't you?
I do have a mod of the week. That mod of the week is a Firefox tabs. Let me scroll back here and find out.
Never done that.
Let me scroll back here and find out what it is. I'm actually going to do something a little bit different this week for mod of the week. I'm going to do a portal. Everybody hold your breath. Those who don't like portals, start plugging your ears or skip this part.
I have earphones in my ears.
If you're listening through headphones, obviously you can't plug your ears. You're forced to listen. It is called Board 3 Portal. It's actually released last year. Portal front page for PHP 3, complete with blocks and an installer.
I think we've done this before, but whatever.
No, we certainly haven't, and I just sort of did it because it was on the front page, and it looked interesting. So
it's lazy.
that's part of it. But, it is a portal. It has, front blocks. It looks pretty basic, but it's Board 3 Portal by Averin. Yes, that's it. And the link is in the chat room. Yes. Everybody's yelling in the chat, no portal, no portal.
Remember the PHPBB portal?
Techie Michael said he's waiting for WSBI. Granted, it's not a portal, but closer to what he wants.
Do you remember that, David? PHPBB portal?
I have seen that one. Well, I have to do that one in another episode, definitely.
No. The actual official PHPBB portal. It was in development by the development team until 2004 when they gave up.
I see what you're saying. Yes, that reminds me of back when I remember they discontinued it.
Right around the time I showed up.
Yeah. Yes, it was.
That was related, but that was around the time I subscribed to phpbb.com.
I am glad that they did not continue with portals. I actually hate portals, to be honest.
Do you?
Yes, I do. I believe in making an actual front page, and a portal crams a lot of information onto a single page, and to me it's too much.
There you go.
Too much. But hopefully this one...
be like an invitation to keep going.
Yes.
Not the end-all, be-all of the site.
Right, it's a portal. You think about it, it's a portal. It's more like a dashboard, really. A dashboard that just contains all the information that you wanted to know about the entire site, all the recent posts, all the recent topics, announcements, top posters. I mean, just most portals.
Engaged in your community, right?
Well.
The
thing is, if you don't have a front page, that's fine. That's fine. But. Kiss. Keep it simple. Keep it simple, stupid. No, really. But, see, the thing is, most of them are not that simple. And you hit them and you're kind of like, my brain, I've just been bombarded with too much information. And the PHPBB3 default interface, I mean, the index page, it's really... And view topics and view forms, they're all listed in a format by which you can... it's well formatted content laid out in a way that's easily readable and it doesn't bombard you with too much information. You have some gaming boards, for example, or some RPG boards, they cram a whole bunch of information into the user profile section of view topic, and that's just as bad, in my opinion, as a portal that just crams so much information into a front page. So the same with portals is if you put all kinds of information in there, you are going to kind of bombard the user. So you want to keep things simple, even in a portal situation. You want to just display the relevant information and kind of as little as possible. So even when you use a portal like Board3 Portal here, my philosophy is, put just as little as needed on there. And so that's sort of my stance on the portal. But that's Board3 Portal by the author Averen. And it's a validated mod in the PHPB3 mod database. So that
A
is the mod
portal
I like.
recommendation from someone who doesn't like portals. How about that?
Yes.
Now that adds prestige.
But hey, we do mod installs of the week for
Hold
mods
on,
and styles
David.
that
I'm
we don't.
sorry. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Douglas. Happy birthday to you. Find out. I haven't logged into Facebook in 2 months. So I know.
That's great. How did they find out?
I'm back. They apparently, unlike me, use Facebook.
Oh, that's funny. That means that I won't have to do it because I just recorded all that.
No.
That's
But that
funny.
doesn't make any sense.
That was
Apparently,
perfect timing. That was absolutely perfect timing. How many people were there? It sounded like 1,000 people.
It's like our floor is divided into two. There's a north side and a south side. So I'm on the north side. This is like the entire north side of the floor.
Wow.
I'd say about 25 people there. They gave me a card and everything. They put a thing on my door. They're baking a cake tonight.
Oh, that's great. That's funny. Oh, I love that. That's great.
Are you still recording this?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Well, for those of you listening, you probably figured out that we recorded the second half because when we did the show live, it wasn't my birthday.
Yes, and we had so many technical difficulties at that show. We said, "Hey, we've got to record the last part of the show." So
it is, and that was not expected. That was total on stage. I was laying down in my bed because I'm a little bit ill. Now I'm going to go eat birthday cake.
That'll fix it.
Yeah, sure. Well, there goes my previous plan for tonight, but that's okay. It works with me.
Yep.
I was going to go out to dinner by myself. I'd rather have cake with the group, so that's fine with me.
Hey, there you go. There you go.
Oh,
so.
Boy, that was. Oh, that was nice. But I am 18 today. Well, technically 18 this evening. I actually popped out at 8:33 p.m. Pacific time, which is going to be 11:33 p.m. for where I am now. If it was any later, then technically I'd have to say that while I'm on the East Coast, it'd be tomorrow. But
so you are officially an adult today.
I put a post on my blog today called "On the Sixth Amendment." It now applies to me.
Yes, it does.
Ironic. Did you know that the 26th Amendment was the fastest amendment to get ratified? Only just over 3 months. But the 27th Amendment took over 202 years.
Whoa. That's funny.
Irony, though. You know the 27th Amendment, right?
I don't. I am not familiar with it. No.
It was originally proposed in 1789, along with the rest of the Bill of Rights, but was not ratified.
Mm-hmm.
But in 1992, a bunch of states ratified it. And so it's now the newest amendment in the Constitution, having taken over 202 years to get ratified. And most people don't even know about it because of that.
Yeah, that's the and so what is it?
Basic, it says that Congress cannot increase their salary until an election intervenes.
Mm-hmm.
Very basic, and they were doing that anyway. So essentially, a guy discovered this old thing and decided that this would be a great way to rebel against Congress. Get a bunch of states to ratify this thing. Which doesn't matter because Congress uses cost of living adjustments anyway, so whatever.
That's interesting.
What were we talking about, David?
That, a little history for you. Actually, we were just moving on to the style of the week.
Yeah, so, boy, I've got some style on this birthday card here.
Yeah, that's for sure. So the style of the week is today from phbb3styles.net, and it's called One
awesome.
Thing.
Right.
Called One Thing.
Sorry.
Yeah.
One Thing?
One Thank.
One Thank.
Yes, One Thank. You know, like thank you.
Thank
but
is
one
like
thing.
Thank you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Not bad.
But just one time. Just one thing. That's it. I don't really see the relevance in the name, but hey, it's a really cool looking style. It is. It's the forms themselves are actually white. And they don't have borders, and then the background is like a nice subdued gray gradient, and then the header is like this nice blue gradient with a really cool style for the logo section, and then it's got the links in sort of a button style across the header. So it's a really cool looking style. It's based on the Pro Silver style. And definitely worth a look at. It's more of a stylish style than many of the other styles that I've seen based on Pro Silver. So definitely worth the look. One Thank by GonkinStudio.com.
Hmm.
Gonkin Studio. And the latest release there is for PHPBB version 3.0.5. Obviously, 3.0.6 hasn't been released yet, so you don't really expect to see any styles for 3.0.6 until after 3.0.6 is actually released.
Of course. All right. Well, thank David for the fun style of the week.
Yes.
I think we should wrap the show up now that it's been all birthified.
Yes. So what's happening next week?
Huh?
What's happening next week?
Next week, we're not doing a show. Sorry. October 3rd it would be, no show, mainly because I have a conflict, I have a 1,300-word essay to write, and two other essays to rewrite, and I don't even know if I'll have a computer yet by then, maybe sometime middle of next week, we're going to take another week off. We've taken a lot of weeks off this year, and bearing with us on that, we're going to be figuring some stuff out. We want to take a look at, now that we've had a few weeks to sort of get settled with Ustream, we're going to kind of see if we can get some stuff a little more settled in. So our next show will be Ember 124 on Saturday, October 10th, and I'm fairly hopeful that I will be able to actually, see what I'm in the chat room by then.
Yes. Yeah, a new computer would be great. For those who don't know, Douglas is actually talking on his iPod Touch, which...
I said that at the beginning of the show, David.
Yeah, okay, good. Well, we're reminding people now again.
There you go. Yeah, it's why my voice doesn't sound as groovy as it usually does.
Yeah, it's like
actually,
digitized.
Oh, well. That's what you get with iPod earbuds, so we'll make it work. But we... pbbweekly.net/live. We are live every Saturday, or normally every Saturday, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 1700 UTC. Head over there to join us and pop in our live chat room, which is awesome. Our website also has links to everything we talked about in this show, all of our past episodes as well. And of course, when we're not live, chat in our forum at StarTrekGuy.com, the PHP BB Weekly podcast forum. And like we said, we'll be back in a week and a half or 2 weeks or whatever. So, yeah.
So, yep, that's it. Well, we hope to see you there. And good luck on the essays next week. And we'll see everybody else October 10th.
I'm Douglas Bell.
And I'm David Lewis from Washington.
Remember, I'm both from Washington. And remember, a successful community begins with you, Tag.
You're it. Bye, everyone.
Bye, everybody.